Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. We are embracing the journey, and my guest today could be the poster child for embracing that journey. Bobby is a trans woman, and I hope you really hear her words. I won't get political, but listening to how she has been embraced by the female side of life really blows apart many arguments of the intolerant. This conversation is one that I really do wish was recorded in video, as Bobby really did glow when she talked about herself and her new and self-created persona. As I listened to Bobby a second time with the edit, her words really are therapy for all of us. She comes to her truth as a trans woman, but her insights are for all of us. Identity is secondary. If you have any qualms whatsoever about what life holds for you as you navigate this chapter, you need to listen in. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Listen now. Oh, and happy birthday, Bobby. Back in February, I had a conversation with a guest that was so interesting and so informative that it became two segments of an hour each. I'm revisiting the topic today because it's one that most of us are very underinformed about, and given both the times we live in and the political climate in some areas of the world, we need to be informed with facts and firsthand experience, not fear-mongering and lies. Let science prevail, shall we say? Bobby is chatting with us today from Oz, so I want to thank her for the back and forth as we tried to sync our availability. 3:30 in the morning wouldn't have been fun for either one of us. Bobby is one of us. In her message to me, she said, "Born in 1959, I'm a proud boomer woman who spent 26 years in the wrong marriage, 40 years in the wrong career, and 59 years in the wrong body." And like so many of us boomer women, she also added, "And so in my 60s, when many people start thinking of winding down, I changed everything." I love that part. As a trans woman, she quite liked my subtitle for this podcast. That was then, this is now. And she is definitely embracing this chapter. So our conversation today will give you insights about transitioning and age appropriate, we'll talk about how to embrace change, even when it feels terrifying. Rebuilding confidence, emotional resilience, authenticity later in life, and my favorite, why our boomer years can be the most powerful and exhilarating of all. Bobby Barrington, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are all embracing the journey.
Hi, Agnes. It's delightful to be here. I'm so glad that you invited me onto your show, and I look forward to sharing everything,
Yeah,
really.
no, that's great. And as I look over your right shoulder, is it you got some sunshine down there, do you?
Yes. Well, it's 10:30 in the morning. It's winter, like in a day or two,
Oh, of
really.
course it is. Yeah, I forgot about
Yeah.
that part.
But where I am, it's 21 degrees. I'm right by the beach. I'm in an apartment building on the sixth floor. I've got a view, and the beach is just a block away. And this is no accident because I am choosing. So who the hell is going to tell me I can't live in somewhere beautiful like this? You know, like I want it. I'll go get it.
Yay. And I'm currently house sitting and I am living in this park thing. Of course, in Canada here, it is coming up summer. I think we hit 23 degrees today, which for all my American listeners, it's like, what is it, 23, 46? That's almost 80 degrees, close enough. So, anyways, okay, let's get started. Bobby, the story of a woman or a man fulfilling the social expectations of getting married to someone not built like them, having 2 to 4 kids, only to admit after those kids have left the nest that they would much rather have been married to someone who is built like them. Now, that story is not unusual these days. Your story and that of a person we both know, my former guest, Amethysta Herrick, is less common. Now, before I let you talk, this might be a good segue into explaining that you and I will discuss the more empirical slash psychological side of transitioning. However, it does have a science, a basis in science, And listeners can tune in after we're finished to Amethysta, the scientist and geneticist who I spoke with in February. So does that sound about right?
Perfect.
Okay, good,
Go for it.
good.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. You say you spent 59 years in the wrong body. When did you start to realize that the body you were born into didn't match the body of the person you knew you were? Did I put that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like we talk about identified male at birth, you know, like I like it's you know, I'm a speaker. In my speeches, I often say, I was born at such and such a date, and when I was born, the doctors held me up triumphantly and exclaimed, "It's a boy," but they got it wrong in retrospect. And how could they have known? Because it took me, in sort of 50 years to work it out myself, actually. You know, like there are children who know at a very young age, and their mothers would say that they could tell when they were two or three or so forth. And there are a lot of young people, you know, like preteens, teenagers, adolescents who transition. But that wasn't me, and it's not the story for all of us. You know, some I have girlfriends who are trans, and some of them will say that they have known all their lives and only had the courage to transition, you know, later in life. Some people I read transition into their 80s and 90s when their lifetime partner has passed away and they finally have permission to be authentic in themselves. But for me, I didn't know until I was kind of in my 40s, I think. And, you know, looking back, there are lots of clues, but you know, in how I present, how I hold myself, in my energy. But it was only in my sort of late 40s that I started really questioning things and came to the point where I started thinking I should have been born a girl. And that just grew and grew with me. I don't know what triggered this or why. And I started doing little things with how I dressed and, you know, my clothing and hair and things like that, you know, feminizing myself. And to be clear, there is no one way to be a woman. And the way I show up as is this is my version of womanhood. Like I am very, very feminine. You know, there is no dysphoria whatsoever left in me because I am so female and I identify and show up and I walk out there and nobody knows. You know, my biggest challenge has been me and my self-acceptance, not other people. Other people have almost to a one been so supportive, welcoming, embracing, and particularly women. The women in my world are awesome, and I have had such a soft and safe landing into the world of women, and it's just been like the most joyful experience, like the welcome that I've had. And so I really don't live in an LGBT world. I live in a world of mostly, you know, like, let's say biological women. You know, I really don't exclude anybody from my world, but that's where I happen to live. And I love who I've become. I love this identity. I love, like, when I was a man, I felt boring. Like I'm 6 foot tall, you know, and I had this short grey hair and wore suits to work and ties and worked in a corporate sector and in jobs that I really didn't understand and often hated, I think. And so this is the 40 years in the wrong career bit. So I did work that was not authentically me, that didn't light me up, that didn't suit me. And so I ended up like struggling and frightened. And I work contracts and I get frightened when I get to the end of a contract, and I get frightened in between contracts, and I'd get frightened that I'd be found out that I was really an imposter anyway and had no idea what I was talking about. And this is really very similar to many women who have this kind of not wanting to, not lacking the self-belief and the self-trust in who they are. And I feel that this has a lot to do with being inauthentic in how we're showing up in the world. Yeah, so for me, now everything's changed. And I am gobsmacked with how quick it has been. Like, I'm 65 now. I only transitioned like when I was 60, and in the years around that, and I had surgery and changed my wardrobe, changed my persona. Well, I didn't really change my persona. I sort of like embraced my persona, I suppose is probably better. And I'm really quite fortunate because at my age I have some gravitas anyway, and I had some resources, and I was able to follow that path, and it was not inexpensive, in financial terms, also in terms of courage and, the psychological aspect of shifting my identity and coming to embrace myself. This has been one of the hardest things, like other people would be so affirming to me, but like when you ask someone, does my bum look big in this? And they say, nah, it's fine, and you don't believe them. It's like same with your voice. Like I hear my old voice, and other people don't hear my old voice. So I need to accept that. Yeah. So here I am today. Like, I spent all my life, I had an alcoholic father, and ended up, suppressing myself for most of my life and being frightened and introverted and not wanting to stand out, and had myself in boxes that other people had, like put around me. But now, as I embrace my own authenticity, I have shifted from being introverted to like 93% extrovert, according to the surveys that I've done. And here I am with 6 foot tall with purple hair, and I, click clock about in heels and skirts, and they swish, and I go down the beach in my bikini, and my hair blows in the wind, and the sun shines on my skin, and I have created this. I've created this identity in a short space of time. I've turned everything around. I've moved across the country. I've got a new business in a new part of the world with new communities and a new body. And I'm really rocking it now. Like, in terms of my business, it's just beginning, really, but it's just starting to create some momentum. And I'm just starting to get people reach back to me. And I'm speaking, and I'm doing podcasts, and I'll be in a national magazine quite shortly, and I've interviewed on the radio and things like that. And it's just like, it's been a long time to get here. But now I'm here, I'm just beginning. I'm just beginning. Like I created me, I reinvented me, but what excites me is who do I get to create for tomorrow and the day after that and next year? And there's nothing I can't do. There's nothing I can't be. There's nothing I can't aspire to be, do, or have. And it's all in me, it's all in my mindset and in my emotional regulation. Nothing outside of me can dictate who I become, how I show up, what I accomplish. And it's so exciting.
So many thoughts as you were talking, and I want to get into that whole Now the door is open. There's no stopping you. And we'll get into that shortly. Just because we are face to face and people can only hear us, not see us, it was interesting watching your face. And it was almost like as you were talking about it, when you had found your truth that in your late 40s, whatever that was, it was like once you find your truth, you can't deny it. And it was like the light just got brighter and brighter and brighter, and so did your face. Now, the other part is when you were talking about being embraced by the female community, women, it's like that is my community. Like all the women I know, we say, like, some of them have got husbands, and that's great. That's the way it's always been. But in terms of if the men ever disappear out of their lives, we women just want to be a community unto ourselves, which is not to exclude men. It's just that, we really embrace, for lack of a better word, the sisterhood. And, and so, welcome to that world, girl.
Like people ask me, what would you, I lived 60 years as a man and now as a woman, and people ask me, what would you say to men and what would you say to women? And so this is not universal and this is only my views, but I would say to men to be more emotionally vulnerable and to let your brothers, if you like, be more emotionally vulnerable too. Like take the shame away from that vulnerability and that emotional, being okay with emotions and expressing them and being human in it. And it's true for many women as well, of course. So it's not just a universal statement. And what I would say to women is that I feel we put ourselves in boxes and in roles and in we have obligations and duties and commitments and caring and things like that. And like society and conditioning, which we tend to agree with, actually, imposes restrictions on our ability to thrive, to shine, to be the best we can be. And so that is what I would be saying to women, like to be more self-nurturing, self-soothing, self-caring. Give yourself permission to explore and do some of the things that light you up more. And set boundaries around what is expected of us. Does that make sense? Is that.
Absolutely. And I want to get into that in just a few minutes. One more question about your old life, other life, whatever. I don't know quite what the term would be. You said that you, oh, she's laughing at me, folks. I am an open slate when it comes to correcting me. So I just always do that. You said you would put on a suit, you'd go to these jobs that part of which scared you, that sort of thing. From where you sit now, looking back, if you could have embraced your woman person or have been born as a girl woman, do you know what sort of a career you would have pursued? Or is that hard to look back on?
So, when I grew up, because of my circumstances, I, you know, this people pleasing that we talk about, it's not just women, it's very much men too. And I ended up doing accountancy. And I did it because of emotional pressure that I had from my father. And because I'm, reasonably smart and good with numbers, and I can do stuff, like I ended up in this career. But, and in retrospect, do I realize that the things that I did, like the accountancy, project management, business analysis, systems implementation, I worked in the UK for a long, long time and worked in the railways and implemented software over there. But the sorts of things I did were controlling kinds of things. So because of my unsafeness as a child and my not wanting to stand out, Throughout my life, I've been such a catastrophizer, so frightened and my money mindset has been awful all my life. And I am still working on this. But in order to find safety, I would seek to control things. And my career choices were through control. So, Agnes, I think in truth I've had two transitions. One is the gender, and one is the mindset. And I have to say that the gender has been far and away the easiest, and it is done, and I'm a woman, and I live as a woman, and I show up as a woman, and everything in my cupboard is female, and I can tell you a whole lot of funny stories about this journey as well, but the hardest shift has been the mindset shifts about letting go of that fear, about emotional regulation, about personal power, the personal power that I've grown. So I didn't have that power throughout my life. I was a person to whom things happened to me, not for me. I was more in fear and blame and excuses and justification rather than somebody who was who grew through adversity, who could see possibility on the outside, who could reframe a situation in to be empowering rather than disempowering. So this shift in mindset has been the biggest thing of all, and this shift in mindset, which has been so quick, just a couple of years with my beautiful coach. In truth, I have done the work, and I show up coachable, and I show up willing because I want to know who I can become on this planet. I want to know what I'm capable of, and I want to know far more than I'm frightened of finding out or frightened of doing the work. And so I live my life now on the edge of my comfort zone, always on the edges, always doing things that are difficult, I've never done before. Like even today, I'm launching an offer online, just a little offer. I've never done this before. It's a growth. How do you get to be the best you can be? By doing the difficult things. By sure doing the difficult things, but also being able to manage the emotions around it, the fear of it, the consequences, having strategies to recover, like some years ago when I was living with my family and it was awful and I felt alone and lonely in my own house. I felt that no one cared about me, and I would lose weeks or months of just like being so sad and wallowing in that and drinking too many casks of wine piled on top of each other, antidepressants, mental health plans, this sort of thing, And then as I've grown, yeah, I get triggered by stuff, but I bounce back really quick now. I can go into a disappointment, and then half an hour, a couple of hours later, and I come out of it. I'm human. I have emotions. Things happen. I get triggered. I get blindsided by stuff. But now I recover so much more quickly because I've learned how to manage my mindset, manage my emotions. So if I went back and said, what career would I do? I would do a career that lights me up. I would do a career that excites me, not with an obligation because I had mortgage and kids and stuff, but because I was excited about going to work every day, and it was so exciting that it wasn't even work, I was playing. And this is what I'm doing now. I spent quite a lot of years looking for my passion. What is it that lights me up? And I'm looking for my passion everywhere. I looked under the sofa, I looked behind the fridge, wasn't there. Where is the passion? And here it was in my heart and in my soul all along. And it took me ages to find that Here she is. Here she is now. And what I'm doing now, elevating other people, helping other people discover in themselves what I've discovered for me. How can I not do that? How can I not? It would be just like selfish. I feel like it's the Holy Grail. Like it's a dream come true. How can I not? It's not work. I get to go and talk to people and help shift their realities. I get to go and help them unclench that grip on the reality that they feel is truth, but it's actually a story that they're telling themselves, and they don't even know they're telling themselves. So my job is to say, this is a story. Can you see? Can you see that there's another possibility here, another choice you can make, another future you can create, another identity that's in you of all of the infinite number of identities and possibilities that could be you tomorrow and next year? Which one are you going to choose? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to wake up as in the morning and be proud of who you are, excited about the day? Because it's possible. And I think too many of us live in a world of lack and limitation and think that that's the truth and that's just it. Get real, Bobby. It's not the truth. I'm telling you different.
And I've been female, a woman, I haven't been a woman for 70 years, but I've been female for 70 years. And you've been for 5-ish years. In terms of mindset, I'm on the same path you are. And do you feel from your vantage point that you'll ever, it's got to be, I shouldn't say it's got to be. For me, it seems to be a path that never ends. Do you see a destination, or do you agree from your vantage point that this is a path we're on? And when you open one door, you look at the view and think, oh, there's another door over there that I really want to go through. Or will we ever get to a stage? Do you think we'll ever get to? No, I got to rephrase that. Do you think you'll ever get to a stage where you're going to open the door and say, oh man, I'm staying right here?
No, never.
Okay, good.
Not a chance. When I said I used to be a catastrophizer, particularly with money, and I had such a scarcity mindset, and I would see my money go down, 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 and it's like there's a, I've graphed it out on Excel, and there's the curve, and it's going down, 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 and that's the point. That's the date when I run out of money, when I either live under a bridge or jump off one sort of thing, and for me, I didn't really see that actually the actions I take can change that pathway, change that destiny. But the feedback I get by, whenever I take action, I create momentum, I create change, the world is different, people respond, I learn things, and the path is different. And this is like, I've just messaged something yesterday about this as well, like how as I journey, yes, I'm going towards this destination, but as I journey towards it, other information comes to me, and I have other inputs, and like it's not a straight line. It's a
Absolutely.
zigzag all over the place. And like here's another thing, this expression, you climb the ladder to success and discover it's leaning on the wrong wall. And I think, well, you can buy into that, or you can buy into there is no wrong wall. You just keep climbing the ladder, and if there's a mezzanine level that goes around to another wall, you do that one. And I don't know what the future holds, And letting go of needing to know has been a massive shift for me. And trusting that there is a pathway and that I have the capacity to embrace a different path and grow me. This is emotional agility. You know, this is emotional, our ability to adapt and let go of the rules about how things have to be, how life has to look, how I'm gonna do it, when I'm gonna do it, what it looks like. I'm just stepping every day. Big steps now.
Well, could I also suggest that, you talk about climbing the ladder to success just to find out it's leaning on the wrong wall. So, do your fireman slide down the ladder, move it over, climb it again. Like if you can climb it once, you can climb it again, and just keep on climbing that baby until you find out it's leaning on the right wall, the wall you were looking for the whole time. Like so many people would get to the top of the ladder and go like, oh man, and that's the end of it. But it's like just when you look back at your life and think I've done this, I've done that, I've overcome this, I've overcome that, I've jumped that hurdle, whatever, you can do it again. If you've done it before, you can do it again.
And you do it differently next time,
There you go.
you know? Yeah.
Now you touched on this, and I want to go into it for a moment. You talked about letting go of our old identities and daring to dream again. Now, you've probably done the massive letting go of an old identity and daring to dream again. But as so many people get older into their 60s and 70s, I don't know if it's an energy thing or they're so identified by their past roles that they've almost, well, they have forgotten to dream again, or even just to remember what the dreams of the past were. Do you have any suggestions for them in terms of just keep pushing or something? I don't know. I'm putting words in your mouth, and I apologize.
No, well, firstly, as a belief system in terms of society about longevity, you know, and we I'm sure it's the same in Canada and everywhere as it is here, you know, like we have this mindset around what life looks like and what you do at different points in it, you know, like you go to school, you get a career, you get a job, you get married, you have a life, you have a mortgage, you save up and you retire, and then you retired and you're all happy after that, and then you safely find your way through to death, kind of thing, like that, you know. And I wonder, I really like this kind of metaphor. I've done a lot of traveling over in my life, and long distance traveling, like 6 months sort of trips and year trips and things like that. And you know, when you go on a 2 week vacation kind of thing, and you get into day 10 or something, and you're starting to think about packing up and going back to work, and you know, the last few days, you know, just you're just kind of winding down, you know. So let's say that's your life, you know, you're at 60 or 70 or something, and you're starting to pack up, ready to, you know, go back to whatever, you know. So, but what if you framed it in terms of, let's say your journey is, you know, 3 months, say. At day 10, you've hardly even unpacked yet. You haven't, you know, you're still excited about the journey. So what if we framed our lives in terms of, you know, it's not 100 or so years or 80 years or whatever, but it's 150 years or 200 years. And so you get to 60 and you think, bloody hell, I haven't even unpacked yet. You know, I'm just getting going here because doesn't that shift the whole perspective of what those years mean? Like we get people who run marathons at 100 and get law degrees and skydive and stuff like that, and we think, oh, good for you. You know, that's fabulous. But I really want us to think about Why aren't more people doing that? You know, what is, I really feel it's a mindset around a number that we buy into. And if we bought into a different mindset, we would have a different experience in those years.
Well, I think too that our generation is the first generation for whom that can be a reality. I mean, our parents were old by 70, a lot of them were dead by 80. Whereas, like I have this phrase, and my 15-year-old grandson is keeping me reminded of it, is that I'm going to live forever, and so far, so good. And as long as you, I don't know, as long as you're not looking at, oh, how much time do I have left, but more, the sky's the limit. I mean, I may fall off the, I don't know, the bungee cord machine or whatever. No, what's that thing called? The what's it called where they bounce you up and down? I'm obviously not going to go on it because I don't even know what it's called. But if I'm skydiving, my parachute may not open at age 85. So be it. But as long as it does open, I'm going to just move on to the next thing. So instead of, just agree with you. I'm agreeing with you 100% that instead of saying, well, once I get to 70 or 80, that's old age. It, I constantly refer to us as mid-age because we've started, we haven't ended yet, so we're somewhere in the middle.
I wonder too about, like, I think we forget about what excites us. I feel that for me, it's not about me. I feel that for me, it's about elevating others and being of service to other people. And as I grow older, like for a lot of people, growing older kind of sucks because they lose their health and life gets difficult. I'm fortunate that I'm not one of these people yet. And so as I grow older, I find such a lot of richness in my ability to join dots and to synergize and to paint pictures and find metaphors and stories. And there's hardly a conversation that I can't have when I can add something from my life, a story that frames it, that illustrates it, that, adds some value to it, and so you can't get that without the time. You need to have the time on the planet in order to build this richness of how we can add value and contribute to other people and to the world. And there is wisdom in us, us boomers go us, So how do we share that more? How do we help younger people? How do we help ourselves? Like with perspectives on life that add value to our experience. I'm very happy with my age at the moment. Like I quite like to say, I'm going to live forever or die trying. So,
There we go. We're on the same page there. And I think in terms of, how we can help younger generations is just by being good role models. Like we don't have those, or few, some of people do, I shouldn't just generalize, but too many of people our age do not have the role models who really embrace life through 90, 95, 100. So if we can do that, younger generations are going to say, oh, geez, look what's possible. Now, what I do want to go to for a minute, well, I shouldn't say for a minute, for a while, is confidence, because making those changes and even entertaining the idea that you can change takes a mindset and confidence. Do you have any thoughts about how do we find the confidence?
absolutely. So as a speaker and a storyteller and a writer, I've gone really quite deep into my own psychology and what has shifted for me. What are the strategies? People say to me, "How did you turn it all around so quickly, Bobby? What's your secret?" And I say, "There is no secret. There are certain strategies that that I have followed in order to shift everything for me. You know, like, and the first one is the desire, the wanting of it. You know, like any change involves pain and pleasure, you know, a moving away from and a moving towards. And so with my body, there was a moving away from a body that never really was mine or never really comfortable in, to a vision that was me, a dream come true of me and my bikini on the beach with my hair down my back kind of thing, you know, like, and that's my reality. And I've created that. There was a moving away from and a moving towards. In the other aspects of my life, you know, the mindset side of things, there was a moving away from a life of scarcity and fear towards, I want to know what I'm capable of. I always felt that there was something more for me, that maybe I'm blessed in having had that insight into me, even through the darkest, hardest times. I always, always wanted more, and I always invested in me to grow me, to fulfill that. And so that pulling towards me. So there was a moving away from a circumstance that I you know, and you get it with people who hate their jobs and they feel disillusioned with the obligations and they feel stuck and they don't want that. But maybe there is something that they do want. Maybe there is a dream. Maybe, you know, too many of us suppress our dreams because we think they're not real, because we think they're not for us, because we think that our family doesn't do this, or
we've been told our family doesn't do this. Yeah.
All of that stuff, you know. But I really, really want people to dream about what it is you want, you know, without restraining it, without restricting it. Like, start to get some clarity on that vision. And then committing to the vision, committing to take just a step and then a step and then a step, and be okay with not knowing the path. Like, this trusting that there is a path, trusting that I will step and the path will appear. Looking back at the evidence of your life and knowing that you've always stepped and you've always found a path, and here you are. But we tend to devalue what we've done and what we're capable of doing, and overvalue what we haven't done and what we're not capable of doing yet. And me too. But I feel like it's like we're building these pyramids, these mountains, and as we grow, we build all of this capability and skill and experience and emotional capacity to, you know, hold the tension, and we just go up and up, and like, each of us, who we are, it's incredible what we've done, and yet there is more, so much more.
The thought that came to mind as you were saying all that too was, you know, whether you're 65 or 70, we've just talked about longevity, is if you're looking around and nothing in your life excites you, or you know that you're not satisfied, are you going to settle for that for another 30 years? Because that's a long time. Or do you need to start diving deeper or getting professional help? Like, there's so many coaches out there, into what can I do that will light the spark, that will excite me? And then, you know, paths, as you say, you take that step and then the next part of the path appears. But I just can't imagine being unhappy with my current life and then just saying, oh, well, I'll just put up with it for the next 30 years.
One of the biggest, like, in my recent journey in how I've grown myself emotionally and in terms of my personal power, I characterize it like there was constant work, constant doing every day, like journaling, meditating, grounding, emotional regulation, like being very aware. And but through that journey there have been, and I like to say it's like a ratchet, like a ratchet, a cog turns and it clunks, and there are like these massive panic drops. Boom. Oh my God, how did I not know that? And some of them, like one of them is personal responsibility, being responsible for my life and every aspect of my life, and not outsourcing my power to my coach, not needing her affirmation and support, but finding it within myself. So this accountability, like not outsourcing my power to blame or judgment or the thing that happened or the court case that ripped $500,000 off me or the person who cut in front of me or even reversed into my car. These things happen, but I'm not going to give my power to those things. I'm not going to let those things control my emotional state, how I show up. I'm not going, I refuse to do that. This was massive. The next thing was to do with awareness and choice. And I like the story about the Native American story about the two wolves. Two wolves are fighting, and which one wins? Well, the one that you feed. But that means that you need to be aware that there are two wolves. Actually, it's a whole wolf pack, to be honest. But if you are a one wolf person and you're only aware of one choice, how can you choose to feed the other one? So if you are of an age where you think, this is my reality, I'm stuck, I have no other choices, that's the first thing. We have to loosen that grip on that belief that there is no other choice for you. And then let's look back in our lives. Let's look at the choices that we have made. And we've made choices all the time, every day. So if you want to live the next 30 years of your life thinking this is it, that's a choice. You may not realize it's a choice, but that's what we want to loosen the grip of. Because for me, one life. I've got one life, and I do not want to live my talents and skills and ambitions and enthusiasms, let them die with me, unused. What a waste. What a waste that would be. I cannot stand waste, least of all in other people. And certainly not me. I refuse to do that. But in order to explore what's possible, I've got to do the work. I've got to do the uncomfortable thing. I've got to face the emotions that come up when I put myself out there, when I face judgment and criticism, when no one responds to my post, and I get to choose what meaning I attach to that. And I just need to drive this bus that's Bobby. And here I am. I've built the best bus I can. And actually, I'm improving it all the time. I'm painting it now. And I've got, better motor in it and all that. And some people are going to get on the bus. And some people are not going to get on the bus. And I don't care because I'm just driving the bus. And I will put out offers. And I will go and speak and see who resonates and attach no meaning, no emotional meaning to whether they get in or not. Because it's not about me. That's about them. This is about me. I drive my bus. And I'm going to drive my bus till I'm dead.
It's funny because I've often talked about like vehicles, but I like the thought of a bus, because a bus is big and it's got lots of wheels and lots of windows, and it can pick up people along the way. There's a back door if you need to boot people off out, but yeah, that's good. I do want to start winding it back. In my intro, I mentioned the political climate in so many areas. What would you say to people who challenge your right or the right of other trans people to even exist? I think this, I'm sorry, it's one of the things that just it sits in my gut and it, oh, it just, I'm sorry, it's like nails on a blackboard. What do you say to those people?
I have some friends, ladies, who have had weight loss surgery, and they lived a life in an identity that wasn't theirs. Like one of my friends, she was adopted very young and neglected and found comfort in food, and for most of her life, she lived in this body that was not her true identity. And there were consequences. There were health consequences. There were mental health consequences. And then in her late 50s, she decided that enough was enough. This is affecting me. This is not who I am. This is not who I want to be or show up in the world. And she had weight loss surgery. I've got a few friends who've done this. She had is it the ligation or
Oh,
in the
yeah, I know what you mean.
bowel
Yeah.
sort of thing? Yeah. And she has lost, I don't know, 40, 50 kilos. And she looks fabulous, but she had surgery. She still had to have more surgery because there was like skin to be renewed. She's on medication for like the rest of her life. And she has done these things to step into her truth, her reality, who she is always meant to be. How is that different to me? How is that different to any trans person? I have been accused of mutilating myself. We have so many examples of surgeries and interventions to help people create their own truth. We have like cleft lips, we have people who've got cauliflower ears, we've got people who have like breast reductions, breast enhancements, we have people who have facelifts, neck lifts, all kinds of things to create an identity that resonates with us as humans. How is that different? There is no different. This is about people needing to be right, needing their worldview to be in conformity with their own belief system. I am a human, just like we're all human. There is no one way to be a woman. There is no one way to be a man. Each of us is on a journey to be our own self, our own identity. Nobody can tell me that I have any less right to be a woman than anyone else. The way I show up, the way I present, I don't even need to have appear as I do or have had surgery. My identity is rock solid as a woman, and no one's taking that away from me, and no one should have the right to have this kind of view on anybody, any other person, judging other people on their based on their own worldview. It's about them. It's about the threat that we pose to other people about how, what is the fear that they have? You know what? Frankly, I don't get it. I really don't. I am so tolerant about who you are, how you show up. That's your business. None of my business. There are so much misunderstanding around this topic, so much politicization and weaponization of this minority of people, trans people. What possible threat can we pose to the world? On the contrary, let's think about the gift that trans people offer to the world. the gift of authenticity, of struggle, of overcoming adversity in the face of all of this shit that is going down, and yet we still struggle, we still fight. What an example for all of humanity. Being trans is courage walking in your face. There's, you know, maybe there's people who chatter at school gates, and I hear in the States now there are people who are losing contracts because of the optics. This is so wrong. This is just wrong. And everyone should stand up against that injustice. It hurts people. It genuinely hurts real people in real ways and is not right. And we should not be buying into it. And this is what I do in Australia. I pitch to the media, I release press releases about keeping non-Australian values out of Australia. This is not Australian. I suspect it's not Canadian either. So I can talk about this. I have come to some very firm views about trans women in sport, about trans women in bathrooms, about all of these irrelevancies in a world where there are so many issues. Why do we have to create an issue about a non-issue? It's just not a thing, and hurts real people. And it's so arbitrary. Like, why don't we have equally stupid issues about people with big noses or red hair or blue eyes? You know, it's just as arbitrary. It's just part of being human. Some people happen to feel that their gender identity is not the one they were identified with at birth. So what? Why is that a problem?
And it's interesting. I mean, that was fabulous. Thank you for that. Thought again that came to mind was that too often gender issues get confused with sex. And there are far too many people in the world who are thinking about other people's sex lives, you know, and it's just live and let live, you know, as long as people aren't hurting other people or other creatures, it's just like butt out of other people's lives. Just my back starts to go up. What haven't I asked you that you want other boomer women to think about?
Oh, I think so recently I did a little exercise about what is my why? What is my big why? And I thought about this, you know, it's the why that is not about other people or humanity so much, but for me, my big why is to discover who I truly am and to elevate other people in the process. I want to know what I'm capable of on this planet. And having learned what I've learned, I want to help other people discover who they are. I have turned my whole life around in my mid-60s. I've even got a tattoo on my arm. It says au-delà du possible. So your French listeners will know that it means beyond possibility. And I speak French also, but that harks back to your earlier question about not knowing the path, you know, because beyond possibility for me means the possibility that hasn't occurred to you yet, because you haven't had the conversation or read the thing or had the experience or whatever that has opened a whole new door that you didn't know exist. existed, and that's the joy of life, like finding doors that you didn't know existed. Wow. But I think for the audience, the capacity to change everything in a heartbeat with a choice, with a simple decision, because I have done that. I have changed through my life. I've changed my politics. I've changed my gender. I've changed my mindset, and I am still changing that because there are still beliefs and habits that cling that I work with. And I've changed my sexuality. I didn't know that that was going to happen. But in terms of LGBTQIA plus, I was never any of those, and now I'm three of them, and I'm pretty sure I know which ones now. And this is very recent. Things happened twice.
Okay, so once again, your face just lit up when you said that. Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
So I'm Bobby Barrington, Bobbi Barrington. So bobbybarrington.com is my website. I'm also Bobby Barrington on LinkedIn, and I don't really do a whole lot with Instagram or TikTok, but I'm there and you can find me and connect with me. And Facebook also, I'm Bobby Barrington. I think it's Bobby Girl One is my handle there.
Got YouTube
Or
here as well.
Yep, there's a few things there on YouTube, and this is like this is the growth, like being imperfect. I am not the done deal. I am on the journey, and I am stepping, and there is mess everywhere. That's not done, that's not done. I had a call while you were phoning, and I think it's a lawyer and blah blah blah. But learning to be okay with the mess and letting go of attachment to what life looks like, what my business looks like, what my desk look like, I can't. But the thing is to show up every day, not just out there, but in here, in integrity with myself and my word to myself, and go to bed satisfied that I've, done what I promised I would do today, and just show up in state, in energy. I get knocked, I get triggered, I come back again, I ground myself, and I go again, like c'est la vie.
Okay, I always conclude by asking if I can ask a personal question, and Lord knows we haven't been personal enough, but can I ask you a totally unrelated personal question before we close?
Yep, go for it.
You're a singer.
Yes, I wanted to know. This is one of the things I want to know what I'm capable of. And I've never sung all my life until a few years ago, and I started taking lessons. And then I discovered, oh my God, I'm a soprano. How is this a thing for me? With my vocal cords and my vocal anatomy, how can this be a thing? But
You could have joined the Bee
and
Gees.
yeah, actually, what I want to do is to be one of those chicks backing the B-52s in Love Shack.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's super high. Oh my God. I'm just replaying that. I used to use it for one of my exercise classes. So yeah, I know that song very well. Oh, dear.
I haven't sung really since my mum died a couple of years ago, and I was like really quite sad about that, and I just stopped my lesson. And but that's something I want to do. I want to discover all kinds of ways of expressing myself, like the boxes. I'm a singer, I'm not a singer, I'm a creator, I'm not a creator, whatever. Make it up myself. No one's telling me I am or not. Fuck off.
Okay. Now the second part of that question is, are you singing in French yet?
Oh, I did. Yes,
Okay.
I studied the Alliance Française a few years ago in Adelaide, and I sang, "Ces bottes sont faites pour marcher." These boots were made for
Oh my
walking.
goodness, you and Nancy.
Nancy, and I got the boots, and I got the styling, and I sang, "Ces bottes
Those
sont faites."
shorts. Shorts. That's great. In terms of the B-52s, you have a podcaster in Oz by the name of Sandy Kay. Look her up. She may be able to put you in touch. There
Beautiful.
we go.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's great. Your website link is in the show notes, and all of your links will be on your page at our website. Listeners, if you have thoughts on today's show, please talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. What we've been talking about today, whether it's transitioning or opening doors in this mid-age time of our lives, taking the next step when you're not sure where the path goes, all of that is just so pertinent. And I thank you, Bobby, for covering so much of that. You've jumped hurdles that we will never have to jump. Listeners, if there was a question I didn't ask Bobby, ask it in the comments and I will get you an answer. Share this episode. And there are so many reasons. Bobby is at the same stage of life as all the rest of us, and she has figured out how to embrace it. And I read this part of my notes and I put embrace in all caps, bold. So embrace it. Bobby's faced, tackled, and come out the other side of huge life transitions. That's gold. And she's a great advocate for trans people, trans rights, and gender recognition. Educated is the best way to confront some of the crap that's going down in many parts of the world right now. As a gay man once told me, it's not about the acceptance so much as the inclusion. Important lesson. So share this episode. If you enjoyed this conversation today, click the follow button and help us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Bobby Barrington, thank you for being my guest today, being so open about your own experience, your journey, your transition, and sharing so many great thoughts about making this chapter the best one yet.
Thank you, Agnes. It was a delight.
Have a great rest. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We'll have a follow-up another
Oh,
time.
absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. Okay. Have a great rest of week.